My name is Jamie Piles. I joined Samaritan in December of 1996. We were homeschooling our kids and we were already thinking outside the world's box, if you will. And I saw a little tiny classified ad about this new kind of idea. I'd never heard of before. My first reaction was, that's the kind of thing that we would do, isn't it? And so I finally called the number, talked to them, and the more I asked them questions, the more I liked their answers.
We are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer, but there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down. I'm happy with that, but I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter, certainly, if we substituted any alternative religion. That would be truly dreadful.
That is Richard Dawkins, atheist, renowned atheist Richard Dawkins. That's not Russell Moore. That was not David French.
That
was Richard Dawkins.
Do you know when this came out?
Last week.
Last week. You know when it came out, though? Like, what day it actually came out on?
No.
April 1st. So I'm just wondering here.
It's a whole interview, and he was pretty serious the whole interview. So,
yeah.
Hey, y'all, welcome to Cross Politics on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Good to be with you guys. We have, and it should
tell
be up on our website.
Tell people the truth.
You can't handle the
That's
truth.
That's what I'm about to do right now. Our early registration deadline for our conference is April 15th. And then there's going to be another early registration deadline because you guys are so bad signing up.
Why are you
up.
Telling me?
You get like 1,000 signups in like July and August.
You just told me to wait till the second one.
I'm trying to get them. It's actually cheaper right now.
It's the cheapest price.
It's the cheapest spot. So it's going to go up a little bit, then a little up. You know, just I got to know how many people are coming to this conference because we got food and beer and all stuff. And so anyways, that's there. And then secondly.
Go to prodigalamerica.com.
Prodigalamerica.com.
Register.
The other thing that's going on is we're actually doing a competition, a contest for people, and that should be on our website. The link I think's already gone out, but it should be on our homepage on prodigalamerica.com now as I'm talking. And you can go and sign up. And basically, if you can produce like a cinema style quality commercial and you win.
Commercial for what?
For the Prodigal America. Mm. And you win.
Oh,
we'll
for the
fly
conference.
You and a friend out and like pay for hotel and everything, whoever wins.
Define cinema.
Tickets. It's all defined there.
Oh, that's gonna be interesting.
We define it all out.
I thought you defined it.
Well, no. Not anymore.
I told him to make sure you defined it.
Oh, no.
Knox never did it, so I took with it, and me and Neil went and did it.
No.
So.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
So people, like a trailer. It's like
kind of like a commercial. We have examples of commercials that were kind of. Okay.
How long does it have to be?
About 2 to 3 minutes is kind of what we're aiming for.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So
all
it
right.
should be fun. But the winner, there's first, second, and third place. The first place will fly you out to the conference. Right. You'll get to participate in our VIP dinner.
Has to be good, though.
So it has to be good. Yeah. If no one wins, no one wins. So we also will reject all. I say that. And I said, if no one's good enough, then we're going to, we reserve the right to say no to everything.
It's in the fine print.
Yeah.
The mission of Armored Republic is to honor Christ by equipping free men with tools of liberty necessary to preserve God-given rights. In the Armored Republic, there's no king but Christ. We are free craftsmen. Body armor is a tool of liberty. We create tools of liberty. Free men must remain ever vigilant against tyranny wherever it appears. God has given us the tools of liberty needed to defend the rights he's bestowed upon us. And Armored Republic is honored to offer you those tools. So visit them today at ar500armor.com. That's the letters AR, the numbers 500, 500, the word armor.com.
I mean, I'm kind of torn about Dawkins because, like, this is what he was saying about 10 years ago.
What's that? This is not new.
No. This.
Oh.
Seriously saying that wine turns into blood. Mock them. Ridicule them. In public. Religion makes specific claims about the universe which need to be substantiated and need to be challenged. And if necessary, need to be ridiculed with contempt.
Well, first, the first part, I'm wondering if he's just kind of a hardcore Protestant. You know, I mean, like, you know, John Calvin and Martin Luther. I mean, maybe not Martin Luther. He's a little confused.
Did you just call Richard Dawkins a hardcore Protestant?
Well, I mean, he's making fun of the Roman Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation.
Wine and blood.
Wine doesn't turn into blood.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the Protestants did mock
that. But water does turn into wine.
It can.
Yeah.
But not like every week.
No. Well, Jesus did, though.
Yeah. Sure.
You know.
Also, Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And also, the Red Sea parted.
Right.
But you know.
I see what you're doing
you
here.
Know, I mean, the doctrine that, you know, that.
Of transubstantiation.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean that isn't biblical.
Right.
And it is foolish.
Right.
But that's not what we want to talk about. That's not really what he was talking about. He was mocking the whole Christian faith.
Yeah.
And then.
Now calls himself a cultural Christian.
Comes out on April 4th. Yeah. Fool's
First,
Day,
yeah,
and says he wants apples and no apple trees.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was thinking about
you have to have the root that's connected to the fruit. Yeah, you can't have the fruit.
He wants cathedrals.
That's right.
He wants hymns. He wants Christmas carols.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a Christian culture.
Well, yeah, he feels comfortable in it
without the root. Without the seed, without the heart that produces those things. I mean, why, cathedrals are glorious, glorious incarnations.
Of a worldview. That's right.
Of faith.
That's right.
I mean, why were people willing over generations? I mean, maybe you guys have seen these, you know, documentaries on the building of cathedrals. 300
years, 400 years.
Generations of people who poured their lives out because... they wanted to honor their creator. They wanted to honor their redeemer.
Yeah.
They wanted to honor Christ.
Right.
And so worship was at the center. These cathedrals were built frequently at the center, and they were willing to give their lives to that. But you don't get that kind of cultural fruit if you don't have a genuine believing root.
Right.
You ever seen the kid at a school who hates his teacher, like absolutely hates his teacher? And they're like, oh, I hate him so much. And then the substitute teacher comes in and they hate that teacher far more than they hate their teacher. And they know that they have to live underneath the rule of that teacher is going to be far worse. Mm. And so that they fight their very best to make sure the teacher that they hated the first time, defend them, protect them, keep them in their rule that they have there. I actually sympathize and feel bad for Richard Dawkins because he's actually worked really hard to undermine Christianity in America, to change, you know, he's at a conflict place right now because he's looking at the other side of this and he's like, the people that are coming in are going to have my head. Because you got to remember, got to go back here. The first group to experience the wokeism of our culture was not Christianity almost. It really was the atheist. That's where it was really a tried and plied at. James Lindsay talks about this.
Where?
So the atheist movement, woke culture infiltrated their systems, their environment, their culture, because if you don't have a standard or anything, it's easier to seep right in, right? And so Richard Dawkins had made a comment or something, I think it was about a woman, and it didn't play so well, and they basically canceled Richard Dawkins.
They came after him.
They came after him and shut Richard Dawkins down. He couldn't speak, couldn't be platformed anywhere. Kind of something happened like that with Sam Harris. And all of a sudden, there's this whole, James Lindsay talks about this. Everything, this is why James Lindsay is what he is right now. Everything that James Lindsay loved about the atheist movement was destroyed by.
So he saw it eating itself already.
It was
the first victim.
Yes. Atheism, the atheist movement was the first victim of DEI, was the first victim of the woke culture.
Yeah.
And so these guys, everything that they were working to do, they accomplished it in one sense. And the first place that their idol took hold was in their own world.
Ate them.
And it ate them.
Yeah.
Right. Idols always break the hearts of their worshipers. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there it is right there. It broke their heart. And they realized that they didn't have a world to live in inside of atheism. So then what Richard Dawkins does, he hides for a little bit because he doesn't have anywhere to speak. He's not selling any books.
Interesting.
James Lindsay, I remember the Shield Squad. I can't remember. Everybody's like, I deny my baptism. They did that whole thing back in the day. So James Lindsay sees this and he's like, wait a second. This movement is not just destroying atheism. It's trying to topple the whole structure of the world and replace itself as the God of the system. Mm-hmm. And so he's started by trying to warn everybody, do not go woke. And when I did the documentary with Founders, one of the first things that I picked up from him that he says in the opening of the documentary, he's like, if I want to destroy, like if I really want to destroy evangelicalism, the first thing I would do is make everybody go woke.
Right.
And he says in that interview he does with Michael Fallon, that's what destroyed us.
Right.
And so don't take the bait. And now Richard Dawkins is saying, if we're going to get back to the good old days where I can debate Christians and talk about how horrible they are
and mock Roman Catholics
and hopefully destroy evangelicalism. Well, it's really weird because even Christopher Hitchens didn't want to destroy it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was just thinking about that.
I remember that. But. At the very end of the movie, right?
Yes.
Collision with Doug.
The movie Collision is a documentary of Pastor Doug Wilson and Christopher Hitchens.
Yes.
In the backseat of this limo or car or something. And he says, you know, if I could make it so that there was not one single believing Christian left in the world, I wouldn't do it.
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
And I don't know why exactly. He's like, I don't know why, but I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I would love to know why, but I think with Dawkins is that he sees there is no world for him to exist outside of a Christian world.
Yeah.
Do what? Make what? Yeah. Build what?
Right.
What hymns? Mm-hmm. Why does he like, think about that. He likes hymns.
Yeah. And Christmas carols.
There's singing about Jesus.
Yeah.
And he likes them.
Well, secularism is dead. It's all dead and falling apart, and there's nothing coherent in it anymore. So like old classical kind of liberalism, there's a little coherence because they had a similar moralistic worldview as the Christian church.
It's parasitic.
Yeah.
It's a parasite. Mm-hmm. It lives off of the life of Christian culture.
Well, right. Dawkins and his worldview does too, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. All of them do.
He's waking up a little bit though.
he's like, wait a second.
I need a host.
Yeah, I know.
Islam is not going to be good enough for me. Islam's not going to let me host.
No, Islam will kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
My thought was, as I watched this, my thought was, you know, everybody's a Christian nationalist.
Mm.
That's my thought.
Except for David French and Russell Moore?
No, they are too. They are too.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's Christian nationalist.
So you got cultural Christian nationalism, and then you got...
Whatever. do you want to live in a land where it's illegal to steal and kill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where bad guys get punished.
Christian nationalists.
Well, no. It's illegal to steal and kill in Islam.
No. Huh?
It just don't have the same amount of freedoms for everybody else. Yeah,
no, it's not consistent.
Hmm.
It's not based on God's law. It's not based on.
I mean, they can beat their wives.
Well, I mean, it's not.
What about redefined?
What about Singapore? It's illegal to steal there.
Mm.
It's illegal to kill there.
Yeah,
just not for everybody.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you want equal weights and measures, if you want, which is what James Lindsay wants. Sure. He wants equal weights and measures.
And Dawkins.
They want to live in a place where
1 + 1 = 2.
Yes. In the real world.
That's right.
That the living God made, where facts matter, where truth matters, where justice matters, where due process matters, and you can't just get canceled because a mob came after you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you want to live in a Christian nation.
Right.
And that was my thought. I just realized. I mean, like they all do. Everybody does. Everybody wants to live in a Christian nation. Everybody wants to live in a place where God's law is honored. And of course, it's not just. There's somebody out there thinking, well, he thinks it's going to get solved by law. I don't mean just by law. I mean, in order to have that in place, you have people who love it. You have people whose hearts have been changed. You have people who know Christ. You have people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and because of that, they love that beauty. They honor that beauty, and then they make beautiful things. They compose.
Yeah.
They paint. You were talking about the secularists, and I don't know why, but I immediately thought of NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And like NPR is this little tapeworm.
Yeah.
You know, like they're playing all these like all this Christian music, and they hate the God that Christian music was written. You know, not all of it, but a lot of it was written to honor.
Yeah.
And all right, that's it. Dishonor on your whole family. Make a note of this. Dishonor on you.
Dishonor
on your
child.
Dishonor on everybody.
Does he say dishonor on your cow?
Dishonor on your cow? Yeah. I think of that as like Deuteronomy curses, right? Yeah. I want to add to that when you get it. Okay. I'll let you read this ad.
Let me read this ad. Public houses or pubs are not just places to drink beer, wine, cider, or even something a little stronger. It's also a unique social center, very often the focus of community life in villages, towns, and cities throughout the world. We here at CrossPolitik hope to emulate that for you and yours. That's why you should grab yourself a Fight Laugh Feast pub membership at fightlaughfeast.com. We need you on this ride with us. So pull up a chair, grab a pint, join us on this ride at fightlaughfeast.com. That's fightlaughfeast.com. Join the pub, and that gives you access to all our previous conferences. You can
we're starting to put some FLF University classes. Yeah,
university classes. We've got a lot of backstage conversations with guests, and it's a way that you can support us and just be part of the party.
So when I heard this clip, the first thing I was thinking about, believe it or not, was I think what's waking Dawkins up and what he sees better than I think most of the Christians will see is the eschatological realities of the worldviews, right? Yeah. And for whatever reason, we try to have these conversations in Christendom like they don't matter. Mm. We don't like to actually, we have eschatological debates for fun.
Yep.
Right. Oh, that's fun. That's a great idea. That's a great choice. I think you had that one. That's cute. Yeah. Oh, you can have that. You can be there. No. They actually have real implications. And I think Richard Dawkins is saying, wait, the eschatological reality of the secularist is actually here. And I don't like it. And I think Christians are saying, well, the eschatological realities really don't matter because we don't care what happens necessarily in the near future anyway. Mm. Right. We actually need this to happen in one way or another. So who really cares? And I think there's another group that people, and this is why, who was it that was attacking Moscow? Oh, it was Kevin DeYoung and a few other people. When they attack Moscow, when they attack the Moscow move, they always tie in our eschatology and theonomy and even Ligon Duncan. They always tie it all together, right? Yeah. Because Ligon Duncan is basically saying the thing that Dawkins wants is impractical, right? Yeah. Which is kind of hilarious. Yeah. Whereas atheist is sitting up here saying,
"No, we need that. And
we
it's
need
practical.
More hymns, please."
Cathedrals.
I'm not going to say I'm a Christian. I'm just, you know, I like it culturally, and so keep it up. Let's keep that. And then these other guys that are saying like, "Yeah, it doesn't matter. We'll just worry about the gospel and preaching that, and kind of keep our little." And the atheist over here saying, "No, you don't understand. Hmm. If Christianity doesn't have a eschatology that actually holds together the current reality of Christianity, I don't get to speak against y'all."
Right.
You know, I need freedom. I need freedom. I need the First Amendment. I need the Second Amendment. I need all this. Now, Dawkins, of course, is not American, but that's still the same thing. Listen,
I still want it.
Even
American or not.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is so like, and even in the clip about mocking mercilessly, mocking these things. So, you know, mockery doesn't exist.
You got it. That's right.
If you don't have transcendent standards, if there's actually not right and wrong and right side up, and I'm not saying I'm not saying all mockery is good or virtuous
or true.
But I'm saying it doesn't work. We've talked about this with comedy, like humor. Comedy doesn't work if there's not a right side up.
Transcendent truth.
If everything's up for grabs, then nothing's really odd. Everything's odd. But it's because God made a normal world that comedians come along and say, "Isn't this funny?" And they point out the oddities because there is a norm, because there's a normal world, which assumes morality, which assumes God and a created order.
I'm in a weird spot because I don't know what to do. I mean, I do. I don't really care what Richard Dawkins says. I never have anyway, one way or the other. So he hasn't, you know, helped my worldview. I think he's just a touch point for me on the map of, oh, it's actually going the way that I think it should go. Right. He's a touch point for me that, oh, this is reality. Even the atheists are seeing the world, unfortunately, better than some of my Christian brothers in the world.
One of the things you got to watch.
So I don't know what to do with him. One sense, like, I got to figure out what do we do with Dawkins?
Was it this guy who's like, sidekick became a Christian not too long ago? Was it Dawkins or was it a different atheist? There was some famous atheist who had like an assistant.
I think it might have been Ray Comfort was talking about
became
that.
A Christian not too long ago. Anyways, but the thing to realize too is that back of this is not, it's actually secularism is inherently unstable. Yeah. So secularism is the lie that you can have a public square and basically a public life that's absolutely neutral. It's religion free.
Yeah, it was Dawkins.
his assistant.
Yeah. Josh Timonen.
That's interesting.
So that's interesting. Yeah. You know, curious to see what happens. But the thing is secularism is inherently unstable. Mm-hmm. It's like saying we can have this space where there's no God, which is just silly. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like saying you can have some place without any gravity, without truth, you know, all these things. It just doesn't work. But what you have is actually happening. So for Dawkins, is he's watching, particularly in England and in Europe, is in the place of a so-called secularism, you've had a massive infiltration of Islam.
Right.
So,
oh yeah.
So later in this interview, he brings up the same interview, 6,000 temples, mosques are under construction right now.
But that's the thing.
That's how you take over.
In a Christian nation, that might be illegal.
Abraham knew how to use centers of worship to take over lands.
Yeah. So nature abhors a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Nature abhors a vacuum, which means wherever you have the creation of a so-called vacuum, there's something's going. Reality is going to rush in.
Yeah, right.
And people are made in the image of God. Naturally, are worshipers. We are worshiping beings. We're either going to worship the true God or we're going to worship idols.
Right.
That's the just facts. And so when you have people pressing for secularism, a neutral public square, a naked public square, inevitably, what's going to come in if they're primarily trying to keep the Christian God out is idols.
Right.
And that's precisely what's happened in these historically Christian nations as they've basically tried to suppress Christianity right on target. Idols come in.
Right.
And basically the supreme god of the current idolatrous pantheon is Allah. And so that's the paganism that's come rushing in. And I think that's really what he's starting to see.
Yeah.
We should talk about the last battle again.
Yeah,
this is what C.S. Lewis talked about in the last. Illustrates in the last battles. You have this faux secularism, this attempt at all religion is just pretend, and then it turns out it's not. That's the lie of secularism. It's all pretend. Mm-hmm. It's really not. And you play around with that lie long enough, and the real gods show up.
It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking we talked about this earlier, which is this is R.R. Reno's whole point of his book,
Return of the Strong Gods. Yeah.
And Gabe, you made a really good point. I was hoping you were going to say it on the show, but you didn't, which was secularism is dead. Mm-hmm. And the real,
real battle,
the real clash is Islam and Christianity.
Right.
Because if you got 6,000 temples going or whatever they're building, mosques going up and plenty more, which is what the LBC lady said on the show. And Christianity, what people aren't seeing is it's not as dormant as they think. There is a remnant that is building, right? I mean, there's a remnant that's homeschooling, that's actually honoring God, covenanting together. That is strong and it's powerful. And you have the culture along with it. There's going to come a point where these two are hitting directly,
right?
And so you're going to have a whole, and I think Dawkins is seeing that and saying, I don't want that other worldview to win over against Christianity. Right. Mm-hmm. There's something else though. I was thinking about this. I still want to go back to this. What do you do with Dawkins? Is he, because here's the deal. When you look at guys like Russell Moore, you guys, cultural Christian folks, they're kind of, in one sense, I kind of feel closer to Dawkins and understanding the reality of our situation than I do to these guys who
you're supposed to be in Christ with.
Man, what are you doing?
It's the vibe shift.
I mean, first you're friendly with Andrew Clavin, and now you're buddying up to an atheist.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
But explain yourself.
Even a broke clock is right, twice.
you're a broke clock?
What do you mean by what do we do with him?
Well, because
what do you mean by that question?
Well, because in one sense or another, the whole ground has shifted. I wouldn't have thought that in a documentary that I was making that I would find an atheist that can explain the situation of wokeism and woke culture and secularism entrenching the church better than Christians.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wouldn't have thought 15 years ago that was that what guy was shooting at. And now he's over here telling the Christians, please don't do it. Don't do it. And they're up here like, we're going to repent one more time for slavery and we're going to, we need to hear black voices, right? Give me the black six.
Yeah.
we got these things that are here. And the atheist is like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
And his ethical.
Well, you have all these Christians saying, there's no such thing as Christian culture. There's no such thing as a Christian nation.
There's no such thing as Christian nation, no such thing as Christian culture.
And don't you know,
it is like, I want to sing hymns.
And you're spending all that money on cathedrals.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And you could have spent it on missions and evangelism.
And he's like, we need that Christian cathedral.
Right.
Right? It's
right.
And there's a reality to, and this is what I mean by this too. Richard Dawkins' historical, just say from a literary sense, and maybe same thing with what's his name? Jordan Peterson, has such an appreciation for what Christianity has built.
Right.
That they can't just let it go.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have Christians who believe in Jesus who are like, who cares whatever we built?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Right. And then
you're like,
and in that sense, you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I feel closer to that guy.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not. I am blood connected to the guy who's like wants to poo-poo all over Christianity. Right? That's the thing. I'm connected to that guy covenantally.
Dishonor on your cow.
All right, that's it. Horse. Dishonor on your whole family. Make a note of this. Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
Dishonor on everything. Yeah.
But I think the,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think the connection though is I do think that you can have these people that you recognize. I'm gonna spend eternity with them. Like they're believers. They're, you know, we're gonna go to heaven together.
Love to spend eternity with Dawkins too.
And we're all gonna sort it out. Right. Yeah, and Lord willing, yeah, Dawkins comes.
We welcome you.
Comes all the way. But I think there also are places where we can say. I mean, Jesus says this in the Gospels: the children of this age are wiser than the children of the kingdom.
Come on, man.
And so I think there are places where we say this guy sees reality more than the people who ought to see. I mean, we ought to see reality.
Right.
We ought to, because we know the one who made reality, right. But frequently we don't. And frequently it's the sons of this age. It's the children of this age who look at it and they say, wait, this is way better. And this is way more important. And the people who are the heirs of that say, oh no, that doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Cause he's arguing for, in one sense, a cultural Christianity.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And which we would look at and be like, cultural Christianity needs to repent.
Yeah. Right.
And at the same time, praise God for it.
But that's the thing is, I don't think people understand, but like, so cultural Christianity though is the fruit of real Christianity.
Right.
So it, like, now, is there a kind of fake Pharisaical version of it? Yeah, absolutely is.
Yeah.
But you don't have people faking it because it's worthless.
Mm.
You have people faking it because it's actually valuable.
Right. It's something worth imitating.
It's something worth imitating. Yeah. This goes to the whole Aaron Wren thing with the positive, neutral, negative, and negative world. It's weird, but you do have a shift. On the one hand, you've got this shift going to negative world. Where there's some real sense.
Are we in it?
Some places where it's like, so what he means by that is in a positive world, you say, I'm a Christian, and that gets you an invite. That makes you popular. So you want to have a membership in a church. You want to put that on the front end. Neutral means it doesn't really matter one way or the other. Negative means it's a strike against you.
Right.
But in a weird kind of way, Dawkins and Lindsay and others are actually starting kind of flip it. In a weird way where they're saying they've seen how DEI and woke culture is eating reality, destroying reality. And they're starting to flip back and say, how about some of you Christians come out and help us?
Right.
How about some of you Christians who believe in truth and reality come out and help us stand for this truth and reality so I can mock it again? But it's
because they're not bought into the reality of the worldview, but they know they can't. They're a parasite that needs the host to exist.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's what it is. Their worldview is
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And they need it to exist. Yeah. And if it goes away, they go away too. And they understand that. Gabe,
man.
Do you want to say anything?
No.
That was it. He's done.
I'm there.
Wow. Okay.
All right. If you're single, get married. If you're married, have you some kids? And if you have kids, go baptize them. Until tomorrow, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic.
When tyrants take over, what's the first thing they do? Disarm. It happened in Russia, China, Germany, and most recently, Afghanistan. Why? Because disarmed people are easier to control. And over the last century and a half, American tyrants have been carrying out a slow, methodical disarmament that no one is talking about. State education. Tyrants know that education is warfare. Our rulers have a vested interest in making you totally harmless. They've got big plans and they don't want you getting in the way. Think about it. Would you rather fight an army decked out with high-powered rifles or a bunch of dinky water pistols? They know that if you can think critically, you're a threat. At New St. Andrews College, we want to graduate men and women who are dangerous. Dangerous to the world. Dangerous to the principalities and powers. Dangerous to spiritual wickedness in high places. Education can either arm you or disarm you. It can make you a threat or make you a useful idiot. So, where you get that education counts. Click the link to apply to New St. Andrews College today.